Hello and welcome to our program. There are about 60 categories fulfilled prophecies of the birth of Christ. We're going to consider 8 of them today. Stay tuned. Nobody denies the fact that Jesus Christ was born. We really can't do anything legal in this world without remembering the date and how long ago it was since he was born. Nobody, whether it's an agnostic or someone who's antagonistic or someone who curses his name all day, you can't cash your paycheck, you can't get married, you can't sell your house, you can't do anything legal without remembering that it's 2018 years since Jesus was born. As we mentioned, there's over 60 categories of fulfilled prophecies concerning the coming of Christ. We're going to look at 8 of them today. First of all, in Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2, over 700 years before Christ was born in Bethlehem, the prophet said, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth has been from old, from everlasting." Well, in Matthew chapter 2, verse number 1, we read, "Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." That's important to understand. Nowhere in the Bible does it say there was 3. There might have been 40 of them. Nowhere does it say there was 3. "They came saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Now you can buy your little Christmas cards and you'll see the star hanging over a manger. And the wise guys are following it in. There's no star there. They said, "We have seen his star." And that's why they went to Herod and tried to figure out what was going on. Well, in verse 3, "When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." Now, if you lived in Jerusalem at that time, if Herod was troubled, you were troubled too. There was going to be some problems. Well, in verse 4, we read, "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born." Well, why did he call them together? Because they're supposed to know what's going on. Interesting, for someone who doesn't believe all this stuff, why are they checking into this stuff? Well, in verse 5, it said, They said unto him in Bethlehem of Judea, For thus it is written in the prophet, But thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Well, interesting. These scribes, these Pharisees, these chief priests, they knew exactly what was going on. So what did they do? They crucified him when he grew up and Jesus started preaching the truth to them. They didn't want the truth. They killed him. Well, in Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse number 4, we read about Joseph. It said, Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth, unto the Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. It says they went 100 miles from Nazareth. Where? To Bethlehem. Not to Jerusalem. No. They went to Bethlehem, and that's where the child was born. We read in verse 7, they laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. It doesn't say there was no room. It says there's no room for them. I think if the worst living prostitute had shown up at the door of the inn and going to have a baby, they'd find a spot for her somewhere. But like today, we're going to celebrate Christmas. It's supposed to be Christ's birthday. And we're going to, what are we going to do about that? There's no room for him. There's no room for Jesus. Why, he's going to mess up our party. No, he won't like us getting drunk like this. No room for Jesus. Nothing has changed. So we see that 700 years before it happened, Micah said he would be born in Bethlehem. Then we have the ministry of John the Baptist in Malachi 3:1. 400 years before Jesus was born, Malachi the prophet said, Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. Who's that? John the Baptist. John chapter 3, verse 28, John said, Ye yourselves bear me witness, that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. So Jesus was born in Bethlehem. He had a messenger preparing the way exactly as was prophesied hundreds of years before it happened. And then 500 years before it happened, in Zechariah 9 and verse 9, we read this verse, Greatly rejoice, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, he is just, and having salvation lowly, and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Well, again, 500 years before it happened. What do we have in Mark chapter 11? 500 years later. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he, that is Jesus, sent forth two of his disciples. And he said unto them, Go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as ye enter into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. Then they went their way, and found the colt tied by the door without, in a place where two ways met, and they loosed him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, What do ye loosen the colt? And they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus, and cast their garments upon him, and he sat upon him, and many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees, and strawed them in the way. Well, there you go. 500 years before that happened, it was prophesied it would happen. Then it was told in Zechariah 13 and verse 9, 487 years before it happened, that he would be betrayed by a friend. We read in Zechariah 13 and 9, And one shall say unto him, What are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, Those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Well, 487 years later, we read in John 13, verse number 21, when Jesus had thus said he was troubled in spirit, and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Of course, he was talking to his own disciples. Christ was betrayed by Judas, one of his disciples, causing him to be crucified. and including the wounds that were made in his hands. Not only that, we read in Zechariah chapter 11 and verse number 12 that he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. Zechariah 11:12, I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. What happened in Matthew chapter 26? We find there that one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me, and I will deliver him unto you? And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. Not 29, not 25, not 50, 30 pieces of silver. Christ was betrayed by Judas for 30 pieces of silver, exactly as it was prophesied by Zechariah hundreds of years before. Well, then what would the betrayer do with the money? Zechariah 11 and 13 says, and the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Well, what do we read in Matthew 27? Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple. Isn't that interesting? Twice in Zechariah's prophecy says he's going to cast down the silver. Verse 5, Matthew 27, he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priest took the silver and silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury because it is the price of blood. And we read in verse 7, and they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Isn't that interesting? Way back in Zechariah 11:13, said they would buy the potter's field. And so this prophecy, as all Bible prophecies, was very specific. All 30 pieces of silver were simply not returned to the chief priest, but they refused to accept the money. Therefore, the silver was cast down in the house of the Lord, and they were to go to the potter. Judas threw the money on the floor of the temple. He went and hung himself. The chief priest took the money, bought a field of the potter to bury strangers in. Well, number 7, Christ would be silent before his accusers. 712 years before that happened, Isaiah 53 says he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. John chapter 19, verse number 9. And Pilate went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then said Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and power to release thee? Of course, Jesus went on to say, you have no power at all except it's given to you by God. And then finally, Christ's hands and feet would be pierced. Way back in Psalm 22, verse number 16, it says, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they have pierced my hands and my feet. Well, Luke chapter 24, verse 39, he's talking to Thomas, he says, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. Well, all of these prophecies were perfectly, specifically fulfilled because the Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Well, on October the 7th, 1955, as a 12-year-old boy, I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. That was 22,711 days ago today. I trusted Him as my Savior that day, and I'm still trusting Him, and I recommend that you do too.
I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord, and He gives a song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky, or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. He's a faithful friend, such a faithful friend. I can count on Him to the very end. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. Jesus never fails. Jesus never fails. Heaven and earth may pass away. Just keep trusting your Lord as you walk along. Just keep on trusting your Lord, and He'll give a song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, keep right on trusting your Lord. Faithful friend, such a faithful friend, you can count on Him.